Yes, that's right. You are listening to RDU 98.5. And I'm so excited to have my first guest in the studio. A friend, a confidant, a musical inspiration to many in the city. Sam Bambury, good morning.
You flatter me this morning.
I know. How that was very nice, wasn't it?
I don't flatter people that hard at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Nah, you've been quite nice to me today, actually. this is why I love New Zealand Music Month, because so much shit comes out. Rubricator came out today.
Yes,
your album.
I woke up this morning. I had a very surreal moment. A very surreal moment in which you work so hard at a thing and then finally it's out and then you just feel like it's another day.
Oh, really?
Well,
interesting.
I'm a young person that will never get over the self-aggrandizement of a day. Be like, yeah, this is right, an important day. I've worked so hard for this day, and
I'm so bad for that as well.
My day is waking up early and having a coffee on an empty stomach and trying to do work, and that's exactly what's happening. But that's me, like, kind of really underrating the work and this amazing album that I'm excited for. I'm really excited for people to listen to.
Yeah, well, artists always downplay their efforts, but like,
it's what makes them so cool.
I'm sure you have worked very hard on this, Rubricator. Do tell us a little bit about it. Like, can you describe? Is there a wee description for the album itself? How would you describe it?
Abstracted pop, filtered through some folk rock guitar stuff. I guess, it's hard to describe. I guess, go out and listen to it.
Yeah,
and
one can make their own
opinions, I suppose, but the music kind of came about. I just finished releasing my previous album, which was an album called Songs About Sailors, which
loved that too. By the way,
it was deep country vibes, and then I was wanted to do something totally dramatic and new, and I had these kind of half finished songs, and I talked to my friend D Stevens. He's an amazing producer, and then we get in a room. And we realize a project is becoming much larger than sometimes when you start a project you don't realize the scope of it until you're actually in it.
Yeah, right. Was it kind of maybe just going to be an EP type thing?
I thought we were going to bust live takes of songs in 5 days.
Right. Okay. Well, that's not what happened.
I was pretty unrealistic. I was quite naive, and then it just kind of it became weeks, months of work and planning.
Yeah, right.
And then, the music itself was finished since this time last year. But then I've been doing it completely independently, and so I've been saving a lot of money to just get videos together and get all these things, get promo together, and so that's why it's taken so long, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But I feel gratified now that I've done all of this work. But yeah, you just can't help but, you do all this work by yourself and you feel a little bit of cynicism.
Right.
And be like, oh, well, the demons really get to you.
Well, I think also, you've worked on it for so long. Your mind and body are conditioned to working on it. And now they don't have anything to work on. It's done.
I'm gonna have a beer.
That is well earned, I would say. Is it going to be a day of celebrating?
Active relaxation.
Active relaxation.
So
I'm
having so the album is released on my good friend Hannah Everingham's label. It's called Underground Records, and she kind of messaged me one day when she was in New York, and I said, I think I'm going to start a label because it's nice to have maybe a less personal touch when you're promoting a album, things like that. Because I don't know, people get concerned about whether or not it's hip or vibes, or whatever. Yeah. And so she started that. So we're going to have a little label celebration of us just having breakfast.
Excellent. Good.
Excellent.
Excellent. Do yes. you like eggs?
No, I like eggs on toast.
Oh,
I do.
Okay, okay. so this must be, I assume, the first release for the label.
Second. Hannah's album came out.
Oh, of course, yeah,
Yes, and so it's been like, she's like really supportive and really fun.
Oh, Hannah's amazing. Love Hannah. I'm very, very excited that people get to listen to this. Are you going to have like a listening party? Like, do you get some friends over and just pop it on and have some drinks? Like, is that something musicians do?
Tonight.
Yeah.
At 9 PM.
Oh, right.
At the Commoners Bar in Littleton. 9 PM sharp. Don't be late.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Live band show of my band playing all new songs.
Wait, what? Are you performing tonight?
There's a secret show that I'm just revealing on air right now.
Oh, my God.
Right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Well, there you go.
9 PM at Commoners.
At Commoners. Okay, be there. We'll be square. Do you just say all new music, like this new music? Or?
Oh, there's some of that stuff, but there's some more news.
Yeah, moved on already. He's I've got other shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then there's that one, and then there's a proper album release show on June 7th at Space Academy. Which it has my friend Holly, she's opening, and Jobs, which is a band, I can only describe them as post-capitalist dance punk.
Okay.
It's pretty sick. It's Ryan Fisherman and Oscar Mine from Soaked Oats and James Dan.
Right. Okay.
And it's a really interesting mix.
Yeah.
So it's a really come down for some surrealistic music.
I'm super curious.
Yeah, I think I want to pique people's curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what are you like live with the band?
It's been, I can only describe my past couple of years as like teething, I suppose.
Like, right, really selling it to us.
No, well, no, it's true. It's true. But what I mean to say with that is that it's actually getting so close to like an original sound and incorporating a lot more influences that I really like. So at the moment it is kind of like slightly disassociative psychedelic guitar pop.
Oh, love.
I'd say, and it's very cool, really cool band, nice grooves and all of that stuff.
But yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah, but and I have the privilege of having some amazing music friends that I feel sometimes in music in New Zealand, sometimes you don't get the opportunity to pay people as much as you want when playing original music. Not about money or anything like that. And I was just like, man, you guys put in so much work for me. Please have some cheese. Let me make you a cheese board.
Yeah.
I brought in my guitar, Liam.
Yes, you have.
I'd love to play a song from the album for you.
Now, before you do that, this is merely for me.
Yeah.
But do you have any, like, good outfits prepared for your gigs?
Because
you have quite nice clothing.
Yes. This is great that we get to talk about this.
Yeah. What are you wearing? Like, hint for me, please.
Well, lately I've been like, I was in Brisbane recently and I got this amazing yellow satin jumpsuit. And it was quite interesting, like the label said on it. I just thought it was like so amazing, but the actual label, someone had written on the label, like the shop person said, fucking amazing. Naturally I had to get it.
Good.
I have had the privilege of like collaborating with some really amazing artists over the time that we've kind of like pushing this album. And my friend Lily Wenmoth, she runs a jewelry kind of like front called Moth Made Jewels, and we were at Portnoy's. And she approaches me with like such great energy and was like, I know what you need. A bolo tie. And she just gave it to me this week, and it's a bolo tie of the album cover figure, like just bending over. And so I've it's like that's something like it's really nice to have a physical thing.
That is
like,
so
you can present
cool.
yourself in that way.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe yellow jumpsuit and bolo tie.
Oh, love. Because I love a bolo tie, but also, like, you've really sort of claimed the bolo tie a little bit. Like, I think it's brilliant. I think it's fantastic.
I think I'm just stealing it from, like, Nashville people. Nothing's
yeah.
original.
Yeah, oh, no, no. I'm, yeah, that's so fair.
Yeah.
Thank you for... I love your outfits. But, yes, play a song for me.
I'd love to play...
Yes, no. You've obviously picked something
to play. Normally the artist thing is just, like... The interviewer would be like, so play us a song or whatever. But I've been, over the past few months, I've been like sitting on this album and it's just like, God, I just want to play.
Yeah, great.
So this is a song called 2401 and it's the first song on the album. It's the first thing you hear and it's got some amazing vocals from my friend Mackenzie. And it's, yeah, I'm going to play it.
Go nuts.
Darling, you watched me clinging to my knees. How can I make these feelings clear? When the dust in the corner never gets any further, turn around and leave. Here's the profound part I could have from the start, but pulling on heartstrings is too much of a game. When the dust in the corner looks like my mother's trauma, turn around and leave. Twist your legs around, body's warped, the fight is found. From the 24th I should have seen the course. However you cling to me, I can't seem to escape. When in your accusations I hear my father's lack of patience, turn around and leave.
There you go, we smile on your face. Oh, that was lovely.
Thank you.
Now, 2401, is that 24th of January?
Yeah. There was a song that I wrote with Hannah. It was the day we wrote it. It was a type of song that didn't feel like a, to me at least, it was just saved as that date, but it didn't even really feel like it needed a title.
Yeah, wow, wow.
And so, I don't know, it was a day, it was a memorable day. Hannah and I had got coffee, we shared songs, and then we wrote a song. And it was,
I mean, the lyrics were like, gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah, like really.
I feel, yeah. There's like, when you write songs that you kind of document a certain version of yourself in a way.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to put it, actually.
Yeah, and so that documented a certain part of our lives, and it's quite nice to play it and have that in your mind and be okay with yourself. It's a like, nice therapy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Now tell me, do you think lyric writing helps your...
Catastrophizing?
No. Do you think it like challenges your vocabulary to expand?
No. I think it's you have to use simple language.
Very good point.
I don't know. I try to think hard about it, but it's Ebony Lamb did this amazing article. I can't remember where it was. It was like. She was being interviewed on RNZ or something, and she was like, "Your songwriting is like problem solving and putting like these really immense problems and quite wide emotional things in the simplest language possible, so it is relatable.
I mean, that is so true in so many senses, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to think, oh, I've got to put the biggest word in my song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so silly. Hey, I'm not a musically skilled person, obviously. But no, much the same in like things like journalism and writing, which I've done a lot of. It's like, get the thesaurus out. What's the biggest, wankiest word I can use? Which is something you do kind of just grow out of, I think, eventually.
Yes.
Would you say, like, this is a hard question to ask, but to answer, but you have aged and matured as, like, a songwriter and musician? Do you look back?
I'm 24. So, and I've been doing this.
Oh, you are younger than me. Fuck.
I've been writing songs for 3.5 years, maybe.
Yeah, but like, do you look back at some of your earlier stuff and go, oh.
I think so.
Yeah.
There's definitely like been an evolution, but I'm excited what the future will bring and the more musicians I play with. Yes.
I would say, I love our audience as well. Probably quite excited. I mean, you're still at the early days of your career.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, to be honest, Sam, you should be very, very satisfied that this is the quality of the work you're putting out at your age.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's excellent. I think it's a great wee album. What does Rubricator mean again? I know I asked you this last time.
It's the person responsible for writing in red in medieval manuscripts.
That's right. Rubrics. I adore that. Ah,
written in red and sealed with a kiss.
I love that. Right, I need to put in another song of yours because like. It would be weird if we just, like, ended this and started playing, like...
You could play, there's a song called, Doctor. Oh, no, you don't have it.
No, I can get it up.
You can get it.
There's
a song called Doctor, and it's a song that, it's a one-chord banger.
A one-chord banger.
I like it.
Oh, I do have to hear this.
Yeah.
No, I have the link to all your music somewhere. Here it is.
Yeah.
It's called Doctor. Is it about?
Doctor.
Is it about doctors? Do you particularly like doctors?
Or is it another type of doctor?
The doctor, I guess it is a metaphor for being going through a healing
process. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Here is Doctor. I'm so glad. We're playing one you've picked. Oh, I'm excited for this. So just one chord.
Oh, well, there's might be the implications of some others.
Right, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, well, before I play this, Sam, I'm going to say thank you for coming in today. And thank you for performing live for us. I really enjoyed that. And that was beautiful. And thank you for this album. And I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. And also thank you for revealing a secret show on my show. It made me feel quite good.
Yep.
Are you going to repeat it? Or did one time? Nah, they heard it once.
They heard it once.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. Sam, have a lovely, lovely day.
You too.
Thank you for being here. No worries. To our audience, here is from Sam Banbury's new album, Rubricator. Here is track number 8 of the album. It's called Doctor. Enjoy.
I'm alive, I know, but what for?